We're going to continue looking at Matthew's Gospel. We're doing a series called Kingdom Come, and we're going to just pick out three verses from chapter 11 last week. Norman looked at the first part of it, and I'm going to be looking at the very end of it, picking up at verse 28. It's a verse that might be very familiar to us. Matthew 11, verse 28. It's on page 977. In the Pew Bibles, if you're using one of those Bibles. If you're not, it'll be a different page number. Page 977, Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We end our reading there. We thank God for that word. It's a very familiar passage, sometimes a very comforting passage. It reminds us of how much Jesus loves us, of how much Jesus wants for us, of the compassion that he has for us, that the struggles that we're going through, that the things that weigh us down, he doesn't want us to be carrying those things. And this passage tells us about the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, the same kingdom, the kingdom that we are invited to be a part of, that we can be a part of when we believe in the name of Jesus, when we enter into that personal relationship with Jesus. This morning, I want to pick out three things that we can learn about the kingdom from this passage. A kingdom that is to come, but a kingdom that we can experience in moments and in situations in this life. When Jesus says, come to me, he is inviting us into a relationship with him. The kingdom of heaven is a kingdom that is based on relationship. It isn't a geographical kingdom. We can't point to one particular country or one nation or one group of people and say, that is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven exists, to put it simply, or the kingdom of God exists, to put it simply, anywhere that God is king. If God is king in your home is part of the kingdom of God. If God is king in your life, then wherever you are, the kingdom of God is present. The kingdom of God isn't a homogeneous kingdom. It isn't made of people who look the same or sound the same or act the same. It is a kingdom made up of people of different cultures, of different upbringings, of different backgrounds, of different languages, of different accents. But what brings us together as a people in this kingdom is the relationship that we all have with Jesus. That's what defines, what unites the people of the kingdom. We are in a relationship with Jesus, a relationship that crosses racial, national, and political divides. It is his invitation that we accept to come to him, to allow him to replace the yoke that we are carrying that is a burden, that wears us down, to replace all of that with his yoke. I'm sure you'll know what a yoke is. I'm trying desperately to avoid bringing in anything about yellow parts of eggs. Yoke is a piece of farming equipment that the farmer will put on not one ox, but on two oxen. So that he can direct the oxen as they plow his field. The fact that a yoke is made for two and not for one, Jesus is saying when we put his yoke on us, we are in a relationship with him, with the person that is tied to the yoke with us, because there is no such thing as a yoke for one. Come to me is an invitation from Jesus to come and be in a relationship with him. And through that relationship, we enter into the kingdom of God, Many people can experience the kingdom of God. They can be touched by the grace and the mercy of the kingdom when the people of the kingdom show grace and mercy to people. Many people can experience the love of the kingdom when the people of the kingdom show God's love and share God's love with other people. Many people can see glimpses of the kingdom when they see miracles happening in places, but only those who accept the invitation and enter into that personal relationship with Jesus can enter into the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is based on a relationship with Jesus. The second thing that we learn about the kingdom is that those who enter into the kingdom will find rest. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Rest is one thing that we greatly underestimate the value of in our Christian faith. It is an important part of our Christian faith. We read so much of Jesus going away to a quiet place, of wanting to take his disciples away to a quiet place so that they can find rest. It's such an important part of our faith. It's something that we all desperately long for, but something that we don't prioritize. And I was just thinking, yesterday for the first time for a very long time, we actually got to have a lie-in on a Saturday morning. Our Saturday mornings tend to be a bit busy. We have to get Bianca off to drama classes, and so we never really get the chance to lie in on a Saturday, and yesterday we did. Yesterday, I'm not ashamed to say this, we got out of bed after 10 o'clock yesterday morning, and then, it was lovely. And we had a late breakfast, but then we had a lot to do. There was a lot of stuff that needed to get done, so the afternoon was really busy. And there was a point where I was thinking, we should never have stayed in bed this morning. We should have got up earlier and got stuck into this stuff. But that's to undervalue the importance of rest. That's to say that rest is not an important part of our life. As I say, it's something that we don't prioritize enough. It has become something that we give to ourselves as a reward for hard work. If I push myself hard enough and get all the stuff done, then I will reward myself with some time off. But that's the opposite of the biblical understanding of what rest is. Rest is not a reward for hard work. Rest is the place from which we start, and then we launch ourselves into the work that we need to do. In the creation story of Genesis 1, the man and the woman are created on the sixth day. If you take note in Genesis 1, you will see how each day starts with night, not with morning. It says it was night and it was day the first day. It was night and it was day the second day. Each day starts at the time when we are settling ourselves down for rest, not when we are getting up to start work. And the man and the woman are created on the sixth day, which means their first full day was the seventh day. Their first full day was the day of rest. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest." Because the world will not give you rest. In the world, you have to earn your rest. But Jesus gives us rest. It's a gift that he gives us. Before we've done anything, we just come to him. And he will give us rest. But not just rest if you are weary and tired. He will give you rest if you are heavy burdened. If you are carrying things that are weighing you down, Jesus will give you rest from these things. It's not just a rest that means that we're going to lie around and do nothing, because as the passage goes on, and we'll get to that, we'll see that there is work that we do when we come to him. But what Jesus is saying is that he's going to give us rest from the things that are a burden to us, the things that are weighing us down. Later on in Matthew 23, Jesus is talking about the Pharisees who enforce the law of Moses upon the people. And he says, "They tie up heavy burdens that are hard to bear and lay them on the shoulders of others, but they are unwilling to lift a finger to move them." And Jesus offers us rest from this, from the legalism of our faith, from the rules that people want to impose on us of how we're supposed to behave and what we're supposed to do if we're really Christians. Jesus gives us rest from the expectations that people place on us about how we're supposed to behave if we are Christians. Jesus gives us rest from the weariness that comes from having to deal with all of this. Sometimes it can be really hard work to live up to the expectations of other Christians. But the kingdom is about God's rule. It's not about God's rules. The kingdom is where God rules in our life, not where God imposes his rules on us. Jesus offers us rest from the weariness and the burden that other people place on us. Jesus offers us rest from sin, from the effects of sin, from the feeling of guilt when we do something wrong that weighs so heavily on our shoulders. When Jesus says, "Come to me and I will give you rest," he is offering you rest from the guilt that you might feel, from the negative ways that you see yourself, from the struggle that you have to go through every day in the hope that you will feel loved and accepted just because of who you are. Jesus says, "I will give you rest from all of this, from all of these things, from the burden that you've been carrying that is not yours to carry because other people have put that burden on you. It's not yours to carry anymore," Jesus says. "It was never yours to carry. Other people laid it on you and they didn't lift a finger to help you carry the weight of all of that." In the kingdom that we become a part of through our relationship with Jesus is a kingdom in which we will find rest. Rest that equips us and rest from the unnecessary and unwanted burdens that we carry. And the third thing that we learn about the kingdom is that from this passage is that in the kingdom there is responsibility. When Jesus invites us into the kingdom, he tells us that we must take his yoke upon us. And with that yoke comes responsibility. There is work for us to do in the kingdom. But his yoke is not like the yoke that has just been removed from us, because it is light and it is easy. Yes, there is work in the kingdom, that it's not work that's going to make us weary and heavy burdened, but still there is work to do. Paul tells the Ephesian church in chapter 2 of that letter that it is by grace that you have been saved, not by works. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are not saved by doing good things, but we have been saved. And now we must do good things. Why? Well, Peter explains in his first letter. He says, "Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God in the day he visits us." In other words, the responsibility that Jesus gives us to do good things is so that we will be witnesses to people of a good and loving God. "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says," James writes in chapter 1, verse 22 of his letter. There is work for us to do when we come into the kingdom. We have a responsibility as followers of Jesus, as citizens of the kingdom of God. We read in Genesis 2 that when God creates the man, he places him in this beautiful garden, but he gives him work to do in that beautiful garden. "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it." When God created the man, he put him in this garden and gave him work to do. When we come to Jesus, we are a new creation. And as we come into the kingdom that he brings us into, he gives us work to do. When Jesus says that his yoke is easy, it means it has been designed uniquely and specially for each one of us in unique and special ways. I think the word that is sometimes used to describe something like that is bespoke. We have a bespoke yoke that is put on us, designed just for us, which is why it is easy when it fits on us, why it is light when it fits on us. It has been designed for us. Perfectly suits our personality and our character. It brings us back to those motivational spiritual gifts that we've spoken about before, about how the gift that we have been given is all about who we are and the character and the personality that we are. It fits us and it suits us perfectly, and it is not a burden for us to do it because we love doing it and we enjoy doing it. The yoke that Jesus puts on us is easy and it is light. He doesn't tie up heavy burdens on us, nor is he unwilling to lift a finger to help us like he says the Pharisees are. Because when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, he is the other one who is tethered to that yoke alongside us. He shares the burden with us. Even more so, he carries the greater weight of the burden while we learn from him. Learn from me, he says. And if we have that yoke on us and Jesus is the other person who is tethered to the yoke and we're learning from him, it becomes impossible for us to simply watch him as we learn from him while he does things and we do nothing. If we are tied together with him, then we learn from Jesus by doing the work with Jesus. And as we do these things with him, they become a habit. They become a new way for us to do things. We are transformed as we come to him and as we learn from him. There's a story of a man who watched a farmer teach a young ox how to plow. And what he does is he takes this young ox and he attaches him to the yoke. And the other ox on the yoke is a big and strong ox. And they are very unequally yoked together, this big, strong ox and this smaller, younger ox. And the man is surprised by what he is seeing. And he says to the farmer, surely that ox is too small. Surely that ox will be able to do nothing. Surely all the work is going to be done by the stronger ox. Surely that little young ox, that weaker ox is going to get hurt as he's tied to this yoke with the big ox. But the farmer explains that by being tied to the stronger ox, the younger ox will learn how to do the work without carrying the weight and the burden all on his own shoulders. That while the stronger ox does most of the work, the younger ox will learn. And as he learns, he will grow stronger. And so he will become better at doing the work that he is learning to do. The work will become light and it will become easy as he learns from the bigger, stronger ox. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, Jesus says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The work that Jesus invites us to do, we don't do in our own strength. We do it in his strength. The kingdom is a place where its citizens, those who are in a personal relationship with Jesus, who has given them rest from the weighted burdens of the world, from the weight that we carry, the burden we carry of people's expectations in the church and outside of the church, these people are given a responsibility to learn from Jesus so that we can become like Jesus, so that people can experience Jesus through us and know that he invites them to come to him and find rest. Kingdom life is not just about eternal life. That is not the only benefit that we get from giving our lives to Jesus, from accepting his invitation to come to him. When we embrace the kingdom, we experience it in this life too. When we allow Jesus to remove from us the heavy yoke of sin, of guilt, of legalism, of expectation, to give us rest from the weight of these things, and take on his yoke, to take on his perfectly fitting yoke that has a purpose, that fits us perfectly, that is easy, that is unique to each one of us, that is light because we carry it in his strength and not our own. Come to me, Jesus says to each one of us today. Come to me, whether you are a believer or an unbeliever, whether you are assured of your faith or whether you are doubting your faith. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me and experience what it means to be in a relationship with me, and you will find rest from the burdens of this world. And the responsibility that I have for you as you come into my kingdom, it's not going to weigh you down. It's not going to wear you down, because I will carry it with you. Come to me, Jesus says. Come to me. Come with whatever's weighing you down today. Whatever's worrying you today. Whatever you're finding difficult to handle. Come to me. Come to me, Jesus says, if you're looking for a place in this world, if you're looking to try and make sense of this world, if you're looking for a purpose in this world, and everywhere you look in the world, it only offers you heightened expectations and burdens and judgment. And Jesus says, no, come to me. Come to me. Come to the kingdom that God is bringing into this world. Let us pray. Today, Jesus invites you to come to him. It is an invitation of freedom. It is an invitation of life. It is an invitation of service. He invites you to come to him just as you are, with all your burdens, all your worries, all your anxieties, all your questions, all your feelings of failure or disappointment because other people have placed expectations on you of who you should be, and what you should achieve, and they've done nothing to help you to meet those expectations. Jesus invites you to come to him. When Jesus invites you with his burdens, he doesn't offer to carry them with you. He invites you to lay them down. He doesn't want you to carry these burdens that you're carrying. He doesn't want you to feel the weight anymore of these things. He says that they are not yours to carry. The things that he wants you to take on you are easy and light, and he's going to help you carry those things. So whatever it is that you've come here with this morning, whatever it is that has been weighing you down, whatever it is that has been keeping you up at night, whatever it is that you find difficult, that's making it difficult for you to get up in the morning and face the day, whatever it is that is making you unwell because you are worried and stressed, whatever those things are, Jesus is saying, let me take them from you. I don't want you to carry them anymore. I have something far better for you. Something far easier, something far lighter. Something that will bring you joy, that will bring you life, that will give you purpose. Take this. Accept this invitation from Jesus today. Amen.